It looks like everybody showed up today. It's been kind of a spotty summer. Some of you show up at one time, some at another time. Some of you are gone a long ways. Thanks. Good to see you, George. So it's kind of exciting to see everybody again. And I really appreciate our worship team this morning and their hard work. It takes a lot of work to put all that together. And we don't usually mention them, you know, because they're kind of up here. We don't want them to get big heads or anything. But, no, we're very grateful for all the work that you guys put into it. Well, this morning it's been kind of a journey for me to try and find a place to land in Scripture, summertime, and so it's good that everybody's here because we're going to start something new. So that's exciting, right? And so what we're going to do is we're going to start the book of Deuteronomy. Now, those of you who are here for the 3 years of Romans, I'm gonna try to pick the highlights a little bit more in Deuteronomy because it's a big undertaking. But this morning, before we get into it, I'm gonna do a couple messages on really a foundational part of the Old Testament and the law, and that is the Ten Commandments. I remember back when I was 36, I think I was 36 years old when I came to Bible Fellowship. I believe that's right. And so it's so hard. I hear that and I think that's just hard to imagine. And so, at the age 36, I was an idiot. I'm still stupid, but at that time I was a fool. And I didn't know what I was doing a lot of times, and I didn't preach on Deuteronomy, so you can't go back and listen to those sermons and compare them. But the reason I say that is because Robert Hitchens was a part of our fellowship then, and Robert Hitchens was a very unique individual, a pretty... I'll just say it. I mean, he's not here to defend himself. He's in glory with the Lord today. But he was a very stubborn individual. And one of the things he would continually impress upon this 36-year-old, as he was probably at that time in his 80s, that we need to read the Ten Commandments. We should do it, you know, at least every month. Maybe every Sunday would be good. And that was something that he really wanted to do. And I honestly, looking back on it, I kind of resisted it. So all of you who may have agreed with him, I'm confessing now that, you know, I may have resisted that a little bit. I felt like the Ten Commandments are sometimes something that people use to beat over others' heads and to use to kind of constrain them It sometimes gets misconstrued, misunderstood. It's a part of Old Testament law. And sometimes we miss Jesus in the Ten Commandments. And so, you know, I should stop trying to defend myself. Maybe it was just I thought I knew what I was doing. And at 36, I did. But now at 54, looking back at 36, I didn't. So, I'm sure that when I'm in my 70s, if God is merciful to give me that time, I'll look back at 54 and say, what an idiot. But anyway, I digress. I say all that to say that we're going to look at the Ten Commandments this morning, and just as an overview, and we're going to talk about why the Ten Commandments. Why is that significant? Why is it important? Why was it? And it really becomes the foundation. When you look at the book of Deuteronomy, it becomes the foundation. So if you think of the Ten Commandments this way, the Ten Commandments would be kind of like the Constitution, and then the book of Deuteronomy would be like the statutes that come out of that, a fleshing out, if you will, of those laws, and helping us understand in a more detailed way what those Ten Commandments are. Now, when I say that, I don't want to make it like the Constitution, because the Constitution today, both in Canada and the U.S., is always up for interpretation based upon Supreme Courts and the laws that the lawmakers make, and they make laws, and then they change laws and things. Deuteronomy isn't like that, because Deuteronomy comes from God. So we get an understanding, a better understanding of what these laws really meant, because God doesn't get it wrong. He's like the Supreme Court and the Congress and the Senate and everybody all rolled into one. So I say that we're in Deuteronomy chapter 5. We're going to read from this portion of the Ten Commandments, or we're going to study from this portion. Normally you're used to it from Exodus chapter 20. But we're going to look at it in Deuteronomy chapter 5, and I'm going to read the preamble to it as kind of a introduction to what we're talking about today. And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the rules that I speak in your hearing today, and you shall learn them and be careful to do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. Not with our fathers did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all here alive today. The Lord spoke with you face to face at that mountain, out of the midst of the fire, while I stood between the Lord and you at that time, to declare to you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up into the mountain. He said, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me.'" I read that first one so you could see that's the setup for the Ten Commandments. We won't read the rest of them this morning, but we're going to pray and ask God to lead and direct us. Lord, we come before you today. Lord Jesus, you're the fulfillment of the law that we speak of. Lord Jesus, you exemplified it in so many parts of your life and in the way you acted and taught. I pray, Lord, that out of all this, we don't miss you, because you are the author and finisher of our faith. You are the one that has given us hope and eternity to look forward to. And it's not without your saving grace that we can even understand or begin to accept these laws that were laid out before the children of Israel. In those days, Lord, men were saved by faith, and in these days today, men are saved by faith the same way. A faith in you, a faith and trust and hope in your promise of taking away all of our sins. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were willing to go to the cross to do that. We pray now, Lord, that as we read your word, as we talk of it, that you are revealed in it, that your wisdom is revealed in it, and that as we discuss it this morning, or as I speak of it this morning, that we will have ears to hear, and may you be blessed by your people. And we ask this all in your wonderful and precious name. Amen. So, Deuteronomy, as I said, is kind of a deeper look at all of these basic Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, which really means the Ten Words. And so the Ten Words or the Ten Commandments that were given, God doesn't call them that. Moses didn't even necessarily call them that, although he wrote about it later on after the fact and called them the commandments, the Ten Commandments. But it kind of took on a name for itself in our culture today. In this day and age that we live in, we see it at courthouses that they haven't yet taken them down yet. We see the Ten Commandments in schools sometimes, although that too is under attack, isn't it? Maybe Christian schools. Maybe the Catholic school board probably still has copies of that on their walls, antiquated things that they are. It's difficult to see the erosion of these ideas because they're so central to what we believe even today, or even what our moral basis is, our foundation for our culture. We would have a difficult time living in this culture without the Ten Commandments. Now, when we talk about the Ten Commandments, I'm just going to look at several things that the Ten Commandments bring us. And one of the first things that we find about the Ten Commandments is they reveal God to us. That was that passage that I read to you. How God is revealed to us. And Moses said that the Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. Not with our fathers did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here alive today. So literally, God appeared to the people and he gave them these laws. Now, when I say that, we know the story. Moses went up onto the mountain. There's a dark cloud shrouding the mountain, thunder and lightning. He's gone for a long period of time. He comes back with the commandments. Of course, the children of Israel are in disobedience. He smashes the tablets. I mean, you know, we've all seen the movie, right? But aside from that, I want you to understand one critical thing, and that is that God appeared to his people in a very significant and tangible way. And the reason that that's important is because we need to understand the gods of all their nations around them were not appearing to them that way. The gods of the nations around them did not give them their rules or regulations. They made them up. In fact, they made up all kinds of rules. They made up rules about people that you could kill and couldn't kill. It was all arbitrary. It was all based upon whatever. The Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not murder. It's kind of simple. But the other gods that were out there, or the perceived gods, or the ideas in people's minds, those gods gave them license to do whatever they felt was right or necessary for their culture at the time. I don't know about you, but that sounds a little familiar. I mean, look at the culture you live in. What's happening in our world today? We're picking and choosing whatever things we want to believe. Well, if it's my truth or your truth, who are we talking about here? After all, I believe one thing. You can't say that what I believe is wrong, can you? And yet, that's the great thing about God's Ten Commandments, is that he is the one who can tell you what's wrong. He's the one that does have a right to, because he created you. We're losing track of that in our world. God is revealed to us, not only in that sense, but he's revealed to us in the sense that we understand a little bit of who he is. What does he value? Again, with that same commandment, thou shalt not murder, he values life. Are we living in a day that's consistent with that? I mean, I don't know about you, but I see life under attack everywhere we turn. We're not only worried about those who are unborn, but we're worried about those who would be too old. We're even wondering, you know, should we do something about it when a baby's in the womb and we can determine whether or not that baby has some kind of birth defect and whether or not we're going to evaluate whether or not that defect is overwhelming. Maybe to society, to culture, or even to the individual that would raise it. It's a very sad day that we live in, and we don't like to talk about those things. But when you compare them to who God is and what he values, you know, you can see what God values from these rules. It's all too common for us to pick or choose or dismiss whatever laws we don't like, whatever things we see happening that don't line up with what we want. And here's the thing that we need to understand. When we are dismissing these laws, when we are picking and choosing, when we're splitting hairs about them, when we're determining things, what we think it should mean or shouldn't mean, we're dismissing the author of these laws. We don't look at it that way, but God, our Creator, is the one that wrote them. So can you imagine how you'd feel if you somehow had sovereignty over someone and you said, these are the rules and you keep these rules, and then we just thumb our nose at them, or somebody's thumbing their nose at your rules or your laws. It's kind of like that child that lives with you, you know? They're making up the rules as they go. Right from the start, I don't care how cute they look. They make up rules. And as a parent, that can be maddening, frustrating sometimes. And you feel very disrespected at times. Of course, I'm not talking about my own children. Only talking about others. You see, God wouldn't give us these rules if they weren't important to Him. And not only that, but that's oftentimes the perspective that we have. Not only that, but we need to understand these rules are important to us. And I think from God's perspective, maybe even more importantly, these rules are important to us. Now, one of the things that these rules do very quickly, they set us apart from the world. The world that we live in is gradually, or maybe not so gradually, the older I get, seems like we're on rails to get to discard the principles of God's word. And so unfortunately, it's easier and easier as time goes on to look distinctive from our world. Do you know what the word holy means? It means to be distinct, to be separate, to be different. These laws certainly make us different. Honor your father and mother in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. I mean, we don't blatantly do that. We don't blatantly dismiss that, but yet we're seeing it more and more in our society. As we get busier and we have more things to do, and you know what's interesting about that that commandment is that isn't for children, okay? God didn't just throw a commandment in there for children and say, honor your father and mother. The idea, the concept of that is that we should honor them all their days. They have wisdom to bring us. And yet we're dismissing it in our world. We discard the elderly. We see them as, you know, something that is people that we need to take care of, that become a burden on society. And as that increases, you know, probably about the time I get there, they're going to just start getting rid of us because we're too much of a burden. We're set apart from the world. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. This is our calling, to be a distinct people, to be a holy nation, to be separate. And it's not hard to do if you really uphold all the laws that He gave us. He says, don't bear false witness against your neighbor. How many times is that broken? Literally, to lie or to slander is the word. To slander, to say something slanderous, something that erodes or puts down your neighbor. Really? Like, I'm guilty of that, sadly. And I'm pretty sure all of us here are at one time or another. Because neighbors get a little annoying to live with sometimes. But not Todd. I want to make that clear. Because Todd always feels like I'm picking on him whenever I talk about my neighbor. But we just finished a series about loving your neighbor. So he should feel all good. But I just want to make that clear. Another thing that the Ten Commandments give us, and these are some of the things we don't talk about, and hopefully you guys can liven up a little bit this morning because you seem a little somber. I feel like I'm really putting the weight of the world on you. But I want you to be happy and joyful, and I want you to walk out of here with some exciting news, and the exciting news is that the Ten Commandments give us freedom. You remember how I talked about all these other nations? You never knew what was going to happen with those people. They would sacrifice their children to their gods. They would do anything and everything. They would cut themselves and whip themselves and do whatever they thought would appease their God, would make their God happy. And yet Yahweh says to us, here's 10 things. Do these 10 things. I'm happy man or God, whatever, you know. I'm good. We're going to be good as long as you abide by these 10 things. All of a sudden, we have guidelines and rules and a way to understand God and a way to have a relationship with God that none of the other nations ever had. But we always look at it like it's this burden, right? We gotta carry this burden of these laws, these rules, these regulations. I hate rules, right? Now, can you imagine driving down the street without rules? I mean, let's just think about it. Do we really hate rules? Because I'm really happy about the rules. I'm happy that the people stay on one side of the road when I'm driving one way and the other side, you know, that we keep our separate, that there's a yellow line in between. I like that. I like the rules. I like the rules that when that light is green, I can go through it and I don't have to sit there and nervously, you know, I don't have to worry about it except in some places. And if some of you are driving, maybe you're saying, well, those are suggestions, aren't they? But the more they become suggestions, the more dangerous our lives become. Or how about just rules in the sense of guidelines or having, you know, I mean, there's some places just traveling around here, traveling up the highway, where I'm really glad there's guardrails that contain me to the roadway. Because otherwise, without those guardrails, without the rules in place, what's going to happen? Lawlessness. I mean, what's interesting to me is that men continue to make rules, and they make rules on top of the rules. It's like, I always, you know, find it interesting. It's like, well, listen, you can't kill somebody. Right? You can't just go and shoot somebody with a gun and kill them. You can't do that. You can't even shoot them. You can't shoot them. But then we make rules that says that you can't have a gun or that you can't do this or you can't do that. And we keep piling on more rules. And it doesn't do any good. We still continue to do it. We still continue to break the rules. One of the terrible things is just what happens sometimes in the inner city and how it's kind of a wild west there as you hear about it in the news. We don't run into a lot of that here in Sault Ste. Marie, although some of you will tell me differently, but the fact is that there's no value for life. And we think to ourselves, why do we need the Ten Commandments? I mean, just imagine if we would live by them, how much difference it would make. So these rules provide freedom. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. That's what Jesus desires for your life. So the next time you think to yourself, man, there's too many rules in this Christianity thing, think again. Because Jesus has come to set you free. You will know the truth, John 8:32. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. Here's what I want you to understand first and foremost, even as we go through Deuteronomy, and we see the restrictions, and we see the guidelines, and we begin to think to ourselves, oh man, I don't want guidelines. I would rather rebel from those guidelines. I don't want those restrictions in my life. As you see that, I hope what you begin to understand is that His commands are not a burden. They are meant for your safety. They're meant for your joy. They're meant to give you abundant life. God desires for you to have abundant life. You know, we even see that even in other ways. Maybe it's the rules that your employer makes up. You're like, man, but he's just the man, right? I don't have to live by those rules. But you know what? Many times those rules help the whole thing work together. Those rules, you might not like them. Some of them, you might want to break them. But the fact is that the system breaks down when you don't abide by the rules. That's not fun, but it's true. Another thing that the Ten Commandments bring us or give us, I guess I should say don't bring us, because this is the one negative, they cannot provide salvation. They were never intended to provide salvation. God never desired for everybody to keep the Ten Commandments. I don't know why we get this in our heads, but this is what human beings do. We make up these things and we say, oh, you know, if I keep all the Ten Commandments, and I can't tell you how many people I run into who say this to me, if I don't keep all the commandments, you know, so I'm not really a very good person, or I'm not a good enough Christian, or I'm not sure, you know, God's going to strike me dead because I didn't keep all the commandments. There are people that literally believe that they need to keep every commandment in order for them to have eternal life. That somehow this keeping of the commandments is going to give them eternal life. That somehow God is going to be happy with them. He's going to be appeased by them if they just keep the Ten Commandments. That isn't going to work. It's so not going to work. Because as I've already pointed out to you, I have failed. I am not always completely honest. I am not always perfect about everything that I do or the way that I treat my neighbor or these things. And I'm guessing neither are you. If I keep all these commandments, God's going to save me. The fact is that if you keep his commandments, that means that you love him. That's what Jesus said. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, some of us might think to ourselves, okay, so in order for me to show love to... No, I don't think that's what he's talking about. In fact, I believe completely that if you love him, you won't have any choice. Like, the more your love deepens for Christ, the more your desire to keep his commandments. The more your love grows for Christ, the problem is we get it backwards. We're like, if I keep all the commandments, then I can say that I love Jesus. That's how we approach it. And the fact is that we need to learn to love him more. Fall in love with Jesus. Believe me, anytime you break a commandment, it'll break your heart. That rings true in many parts of life. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Not only that, but the Ten Commandments are trustworthy. They're trustworthy. And I want to point that out in our culture today because this is really important. This is really critical. The Ten Commandments are trustworthy in the sense that in the world that we live in today, we have, as I've already pointed out, many more rules than just 10. As Deuteronomy will show, there's a lot of ways that these commandments are displayed and are lived out in our daily lives. But let me tell you something. In our world today, we are getting where those cultures were before they got the Ten Commandments. We have thrown the Ten Commandments out of courthouses. We have gotten rid of the Ten Commandments as a basis. We want to erase that from the foundation of what has made our laws in this country and in the U.S. as well. We want to erase that. We want to eradicate that. And what are we replacing it with? Try and think of the rules that you live with today. Think of the rules that we have today about what you say in the workplace, how you say it, who you say it to, What about the rules that we're making up about how we talk to certain people who we don't even realize what gender they want to identify as, but the next thing you know, we're saying the wrong thing to them? It's like a moving target in our culture today. And it's really becoming overwhelming. Political correctness, it's crazy. I mean, I can't tell you how... I'm not a sensitive person, okay? I just want to start with that. I'm not sensitive. I really don't care about some of these issues or things, but whenever somebody finds out that I'm from the U.S., like I grew up in Michigan, the first thing they seem compelled to say to me is something along the lines of, "You didn't vote for Trump, did you?" It's like, I don't have anything to do with this guy. I don't even live there. I haven't lived there in 17, 18 years. But for some reason, that is a no-no. In our world, those are the rules. Like, you can't like him, can you? That's not possible. Anything you like about him just means you like everything about him. Everything that he's ever done that's dumb, that's on you. These are the rules I feel like I live under today. And we all are judging each other and trying to impose our values, our perspectives, or the things that we want, or our political views. We're trying to impose that, or even our scientific views. I'll just call it scientific views because you get in trouble saying anything about, you know, man-made global warming. Like, if you could even suggest that that might not even be a thing, oh my goodness. And I said man-made, by the way, so if you're splitting hairs out there and you want to figure out how you can accuse me of things, all right? I said man-made. There might be global warming. I don't know. God's in control, not me. And that's the reason that I believe that, is not because I'm worried about it, or I'm not worried about what God is doing. I don't know how the end comes. I don't understand all that stuff. But just to say that, you get labeled all kinds of things in our culture. These are the rules that you will live under if you do not live under the Ten Commandments. Let me tell you, I believe the Ten Commandments are a way lighter burden than the culture we're living in today. We have thrown out the Ten Commandments and said these things don't matter, and we are replacing them with values and ideas and concepts that we are going to make every person comply with, whether they like it or not. I don't mean to scare you with that, but I want you to understand something. At least the Ten Commandments are trustworthy. They're trustworthy because they're from God, and He's the one who created us. And we should embrace these things, not run from them. Because we're living in a day where I think this is going to switch rather rapidly, and you're going to be marginalized in our world for beliefs and ideas that have always been held in high esteem are now going to be, you're going to be marginalized by them. It's foundational to all Scripture. I think that you can kind of see the connection there with the commandments. You go through the first, no other gods before me, make no graven images, don't take the Lord's name in vain, love your father and mother, keep the Sabbath, and love your father and mother. And you can see there's a responsibility to God in those first commandments. And then the second commandments, love your neighbor, don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't covet, don't steal. In those you can see loving your neighbor. And in it all you can see love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. They're the foundation to all Scripture. And I think that's the reason that they get quoted over and over again throughout Scripture. And then the last thing, they're relevant for today. They are relevant for today. Galatians 2:16 says, "Yet we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified." And a lot of times, these passages of Scripture and others like it get thrown out there to say that the law is no longer, you know, Jesus says, "I've fulfilled the law." The law is no longer relevant. That Deuteronomy is no longer relevant. That these are God's laws for His people, the Israelite people. And the two things I would say to that is that some things probably or may possibly, and I don't take this lightly at all, but some of the things may not be that relevant to where we're at today. But all of these laws help us understand who God is, what His expectations are, help us interpret and evaluate how we should then live in the world that we live in today and the culture that we live in today. They are relevant for today. And I want you to understand when Paul says this in Galatians and he's talking to the Galatian people, he's talking about the works of the law. He's talking about the Pharisees. He's talking about those who are looking at how can I work out my salvation by keeping all of the law. And you have to make that distinction because there's other passages of Scripture where he doesn't use that. Romans 6:14, "For sin will have no dominion over you since you are not under law but under grace." And so when he uses that phrase, when he's kind of shortening it there, but he's literally saying again, the works of the law. And he jumps back and forth because a little earlier in Romans chapter 3, verse 31, he says, "Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law." And so what I'm saying to you this morning is that if you are trying to work out your salvation by keeping the law, by making rules, by evaluating those around you even. I mean, we as a church, we're a church, so unfortunately what happens is many times people are evaluating each other and saying, are they keeping all the laws or aren't they? I mean, listen to me, it's not your business. It's not your problem. You have enough problems keeping the laws yourself, let alone worrying about what somebody else is keeping. And what I'm saying to you is that if the law becomes a means to appease God and make Him feel better so that He can save you, then that law is nullified. It's no longer because there's Jesus. And Jesus Christ is our Savior. And we would be lost without Him. Laws or no laws. We need a Savior because we are sinful men. And the law in that context is nullified. But to say that the law has no meaning or no purpose, Paul says, "Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means, on the contrary, we uphold the law." We uphold the law because the law represents the God that we follow and serve. We are excited to live by these laws. We're joyous over them because they give us guidance and hope and faith, but they don't provide our salvation because our hope is in Jesus Christ for salvation. And I hope you can understand that because a lot has been said these days and a lot is put out there and a lot of the liberal garbage that you might read or see on TV or things like that are trying to erode the concept that God's laws are still relevant for today. His truth hasn't changed at all. He hasn't pulled back from this. That would be like He gave us these laws for no good reason. They are relevant for today. Now, I understand that, you know, it's kind of hard to get up here and to preach a message about the Ten Commandments and convince you that they're important. Because, I mean, it's like we all agree. Where I'm preaching to the choir. We're all like, yeah, we're on board with that. But I hope you evaluate it a little bit. Because I think we're all on board with it, but we're all a little bit secretly, deep down inside, struggle with some of it. Maybe have difficulty applying it. And many times find ourselves trusting in that. And when I say that, I want you to understand what happens is we trust that we will keep the Ten Commandments and somehow make God happy and please God. And then when we don't, we are discouraged. We are down. We lose faith in ourselves and faith in God. And that's not fair because Jesus Christ came to be your Savior. Jesus Christ came to deliver you from sin and death, not the law. The law has come to give you abundant life, to be able to live freely, and to be able to live in peace and harmony among others. Because can you imagine if you took all these laws away, just these Ten Commandments, just take them out of society, how fearful would you be to walk out that door today? These are valuable and relevant to us today as they ever were. But understand, I hope you understand, Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you, not your commitment to these laws, not your ability to keep them. Jesus Christ is the way.